That you're with us today. We're going to be continuing in a series that we started a while back. And in your planner, by the way, are some notes for the message. If you want to take that out and follow along, we encourage you to do that. It's called the Passion Week or the Passion Week. And we're talking about the last days of Jesus and how the last days of Jesus can change our everyday. I'm going to tell you, the resurrection is a big deal, isn't it? I mean, it is the single most powerful, influential event in the history of the world, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What happened 2,000 years ago? If you realize this, but every time you use a date, every time you date your calendar, or every time you use your date, even your birthday is a reference to the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know that? Whether it's 2015, 16, 17, or 18, that is a reference to the greatest event in the history of the world. And that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His resurrection split history, A.D. and B.C. It's amazing. Now, not only that, but the resurrection of Jesus actually proved a lot of things. The first most important thing is that it actually validated who Jesus was. It validated the identity of Jesus. You know, Jesus said that he was the Son of God. He said that he was God. And a lot of people in history have come and gone and said they were God. But Jesus himself said, I am God and I'm going to prove it. You're going to put me on the cross and you're going to put me in the grave. You're going to kill me. But 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. And Jesus did exactly that. And his resurrection validates who he is, that he is the Son of God. He walked around Jerusalem for 40 days, appeared to hundreds of people, and he rose from the dead. It validates his identity. Another thing that the resurrection does is it proves to us that there is life after death. Aren't you glad for that? Jesus rose again from the dead. In other words, there's life after death. There's more to this life than just here and now and what we experience right now. But there is eternal life, and thank God for that. You know, the last I checked, the mortality rate for human beings is still right around 100%. I know that's not maybe good news this morning, but the reality is we all are going to pass from this life to the next. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves to us that there is life after death and there is hope, and we can hold on to that, that there's more to life than just right here and now, that we have eternity with him to look forward to. You know, there's something else about the resurrection, or really the whole passion of Jesus, his suffering and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and all that Jesus went through and the suffering that he experienced was a model for us when we go through our own times of suffering and pain in our life. I probably don't have to tell you this, but you are going to experience some pain, some suffering, some sorrow, and some agony in life. And what we learn about Jesus and why this is such a important thing is that the suffering that Jesus went through before he even went to the cross and even the resurrection, but what Jesus went through is a model for us so that we know how we can go through pain in our life. Excuse me, I forgot my remote. And we're all going to experience pain. We're all going to experience difficulties and sorrows in our life. The Bible actually tells us this in 2 Peter. It says, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example. In other words, we're going to experience seasons and days of pain and suffering and agony. But we have an example because Jesus went through pain and suffering. We can learn from him and we can learn from his example. Let me explain it this way. Jesus, the crucifixion and the resurrection, the burial and the resurrection, all happened in a period of 3 days. On Friday, when Jesus suffered and when he was crucified, that was a day of pain and agony and suffering. Said a moment ago, all of us are going to go through days and seasons of pain and suffering in our life. Saturday was a day of confusion. Jesus had been placed in the grave, and they rolled a big stone in front of that grave. And for the disciples, that was a very confusing day, a very chaotic day for them. They didn't know what they were going to do. Jesus was dead. The dream was dead. This was their leader who they followed. And all of a sudden, life is very confusing. The rug was pulled out right from underneath their feet. And you and I are going to go through days of confusion as well. Maybe you're in a day of confusion right now where you don't even know what the next step is for your life. And things are so confusing and chaotic that you don't even know what you're going to do next. God understands those days of pain, those days of confusion. And Sunday, when Jesus rose again from the dead, that was the day of joy and celebration. That was the day of victory. You know, there's three questions that we ask when we go through these days. Days of pain, in days of confusion, in the days of joy and celebration. When you're in that day of pain, the question is really this: what do I do in my day of pain? How do I get through this? What do I do in my day of pain? When you're in the times of confusion, I think the question is, how am I going to get through this? How do I get through these times of confusion when things just didn't seem to work out or didn't go as planned and the rug, again, is taken out from under you and you're confused? How do you get through those days of confusion? And how do I get to the days of joy and celebration and victory? I am so glad today that while we're celebrating Easter Sunday, Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, gives us a model and gives us an example of how to go through those days. You may be in a day of pain right now. I'm not sure what's going on in your life. He understands. You may be in a day of confusion right now. You may be wondering, how can I get to that day of joy and celebration? We have a model today. I'm so glad that you're here today because there's hope for our lives. Now, I hate to say this, but I feel like, you know, you're going to need this message sometime because we're all going to go through those days. We're all going to go through those days many times. Again, you may be in one of those days right now, but we're going to need this. We have an example and a model for us from Jesus. So we're going to look at your outline. Friday was the day of pain. Jesus understood pain. Jesus understood ultimate pain. He understood pain from a lot of different levels. First of all, from a physical level, we understand the suffering that Jesus went through. Even before he was crucified on the cross, Jesus was beat and he was mocked and he was spit on. He was punched. They placed a crown of thorns on his head that sunk into his skull. Just to be mean, they pulled his beard from his face. He was whipped and he was scourged. A scourging was with a cat of nine tails, leather straps, nine of them. At the end of each of those leather straps was chips of bone or metal, and it was intended to sink into the flesh and to pull the flesh off the back. Most people or many people didn't even survive a scourging. Jesus was scourged. He knows what it's like to experience physical suffering. All before he was crucified, he went without sleep, he went without food, he went without water all night long. And then he was crucified on a Roman cross. Such a barbaric and harsh and torturous way to die. Roman citizens weren't even allowed to be crucified because it was too bad. The Romans adopted it from barbarians. And it maximized torture for the victim who was being crucified. It was, without getting into detail, it was crucifixion, or death rather, by suffocation. And that's why they would often break the legs of the person who's being crucified, because they can no longer hold themselves up on that cross. And so their legs were broken and they would eventually suffocate. Jesus understands pain. He went through physical pain, but the level of pain that Jesus went through was not just physical. Think of the emotional pain that he went through. He was forsaken by his best friends. He was disowned. He was denied. He was betrayed. How humiliating it would be to hang naked on the cross, people watching you die. The people that he created as the creator of the world. He was mocked and he was made fun of and he was spit upon. And the emotional pain that Jesus went through. But there is a level of pain that Jesus went through when he was on the cross that we can't understand as human beings. It was a spiritual pain that Jesus went through. The Bible tells us that when Jesus was dying, literally the weight of the sin of the world was upon his shoulders. Jesus, in that moment while he's being crucified, hard for us to understand, but he experienced the guilt of every sin, every heinous crime, every terrible sin was upon him at that moment. Just to give you an idea, you understand how guilty you feel when we do something wrong, that sense of guilt. We know what that is like. Imagine experiencing the guilt of every sin and every crime. Every murder, every rape, every molestation, every genocide, the Holocaust, the guilt of all of that sin of the whole world was upon Jesus at that moment. God poured out his wrath. And Jesus in that moment spiritually also felt what it was like, the hell of being separated from his Father. That's why he cried out, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? God poured out his wrath. That relationship that he had for eternity with his Father was broken. He understood and felt the hell of being separated from God, something that is almost impossible for us to understand. I simply want to say this, is that Jesus understands pain. He understands suffering. And today you may be in this day of pain, this day of suffering. And here's hope I want to give you today that God understands. He suffered. As a matter of fact, the Bible gives us some indication here. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Because Jesus suffered and understands suffering, and he understands your suffering, he's able to help you. He's able to help you in that suffering. The question is this, what do we do in those days of pain? What do we do? And very practically, we're going to look at what Jesus did. And the first thing Jesus did may surprise you, actually. But if you want to write this down, it's very important. He reached out to his friends. Jesus reached out to his friends in his day of pain. This is opposite of what we tend to do when we experience pain. We tend to isolate ourselves. We tend to say, I'm going to take this on myself. I'm not going to share it. I'm not going to tell anybody else. And in our times of pain, unfortunately, I've done this as well. We tend to isolate ourselves. But Jesus didn't do that. It was the worst day of his life. He was going to the cross, and he knew it. And he wanted his best friends, the ones that he invested in all of his life, to be there. He went to a place called Gethsemane. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. Gethsemane was a garden. It was a place Jesus often went to with his disciples by himself, probably owned by somebody else that allowed Jesus to go there. It was actually an olive grove. I would say it was an olive garden, but, you know, that's a restaurant chain, so we'll just say it was a grove of olives. And he went there, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground. This is amazing that Jesus, the Son of God, in the most difficult, painful day of his life, the worst day of his life, said, I want my friends to be with me. I want my friends to be around me. Jesus needed people around him in his pain. How much more do we need that in our lives? Let me just challenge you with this, possibly, as I challenge myself. What is the network of friends that you have around you? We need to bear one another burdens. We weren't meant to go through the pain of life alone. Like you, I've gone through days of pain and suffering and agony. And if it wasn't for the people that God had placed in my life during those times, I probably wouldn't be here. I know that. And so I'm just simply saying this. Our tendency is to maybe isolate when we're in pain, but we want to pull people in. And making those friends or that network of people around us takes time and it takes effort, right? It takes vulnerability. We have small groups, and part of what this church is just desires to do so much is provide a relational atmosphere where people can love and be loved and serve and be served and love one another and help carry one another's burdens. I just want to encourage you that way. If you're in pain, don't separate, but draw into friends. Another thing that Jesus did that's amazing, he said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Jesus expressed what he was going through. Boy, we tend not to do this, don't we? When something's going on, we tend to kind of suppress the pain and just take it on all of ourselves and try to get through it all by ourselves, but that doesn't work. Jesus himself, with gut-level honesty, said, this is overwhelming me. I feel like I'm going to die. And he expressed that to his friends. And they didn't judge him, and they didn't say they were there. And I believe this is very important for us to understand, that we just have to reach out to friends. And we can express what's going on in our hearts. Is it okay to complain to God? Is it okay to say, God, this overwhelms me? Absolutely it is. God wants that gut-level honesty, and to be able to express that to some friends that are around us to support us is so important. But here's the thing. Friends can't be there for us all the time, right? Friends sometimes get busy. Friends have things to do, and they're not there 100% of the time, and they aren't able to completely understand the depth and sympathize with what you're going through, but God does. So we reach out to friends, yes, like Jesus did, but we also need to reach out to God. Number two, you can write it in, we reach out to God. How do we reach out to God? this is what prayer is all about. You may say, I don't even know how to pray. I'm barely got to church this morning. Pray. How do you do that? Well, here's what I want to say. Sometimes we think we have to have the right words to pray to God, you know? We have to come with our best theological jargon. O thou gracious and good, omnipotent, holy, and perfect, righteous God, you know? We don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. Prayer is just crying out to God. And we're going to see a model of how Jesus prayed. Listen to what Jesus said. He went off a little further, fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, this awful hour awaiting might pass him. He said, Abba, Father. What's that? Abba. Abba, that is an Aramaic term for daddy. Jesus was praying to his Father. He was simply saying, Daddy God. Daddy God. See, the reality is this, you and I can pray the same way. How do you come to God? You just say, Father. You say, Daddy. Because he is a good, good father and wants to be a good, good father to you. So Jesus cried out to God. He cried out, everything's possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine. I want to share something that's so important. I call this the Gethsemane prayer. In your seasons or your days of pain, what do? You reach out to friends, yes, but you reach out to God. And how do you pray? I want to share this with you. It's on your outline, the Gethsemane model, three things to pray when you are in pain. Number one is this, and it's written in for you. You affirm God's power. Notice what Jesus said. He said, Jesus, I know that you can. He said, God, I know that all things are possible for you. When we go through a season of pain and suffering, we affirm the power of God. We say, God, I know all things are possible with you. I know, God, that you created the universe. You could even take this pain away if you wanted to. God, I affirm that all things are possible with you. You affirm the power of God. The second thing we do is we express desire. Jesus said, I don't want this. God, is there any way? It's okay to express our feelings and emotions to God. It's okay to complain to God. David did it in the Psalms called the Psalms of Lament, where he said, I don't understand. God, I don't want to go through this. Why is this happening? God can handle those emotions. We can pour those emotions out to God. Jesus himself did it. He said, I don't want this. I am overwhelmed. I don't want to go through this. So we can pour that emotion out to God. We affirm his power that he can do anything. All things are possible. And we express our desire. But lastly, we offer up trust. Jesus said, God, not my will, but your will be done. It's an offer of trust. It's saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust that you are good. I trust that you have my best interest in mind. I trust that you know better than me. I trust that you're a good, good father. I trust that you can take the broken pieces of my life when I offer them up to you. And you, God, can make good out of them or bring good out of that. It's an offer of trust. What do you do in your darkest day? Maybe you're there right now. Affirm the power of God. Affirm his power. You express your heart desire, but you offer up your trust to God and say, Lord, I choose to trust you, that you are a good God. Jesus was crucified on the cross. He died. They took his body off the cross and they put him in a borrowed grave and they rolled a big, big stone in front of that grave and Jesus was dead. Can you imagine what the disciples must have felt as they reach into this second phase or this second day, and that's Saturday, and that's the day of confusion? Just think for a moment how the disciples must have felt. Jesus, their Lord, their Messiah, he's dead. The man that they thought was going to rise up and defeat the Roman government and liberate the Jews and be the Messiah and bring his earthly kingdom, you know, to earth. They believed that that was going to happen. This man that they gave up their life for to follow, the dream that they had and what he was going to do, he is dead. And the Roman government they are hoping he would overthrow has crucified him and killed him, and now he's in a grave. Can you imagine the confusion and the pain they must have felt in that moment? That Saturday, it was a day of confusion. The rug was taken right out from underneath them. They didn't know what they were going to do. I mean, just think a little bit about some of the emotions that they must have had on that day. I'm sure they had probably some regret. Like, why didn't we see Judas? Why didn't we stop Judas? We should have known he was the one that was going to do this. Why didn't we do that? I'm sure they had guilt and shame. We turned away from Jesus. We abandoned Jesus. We ran away from him. And I'm sure they must have felt that. I'm sure they felt fear. They crucified Jesus. He was our leader. They know who we are. They're coming after us next. I'm sure there was fear. Can you imagine all these emotions? And I know for sure there was just confusion. What do we do? We can't even see what's ahead of us. We don't even know. There was confusion, and there was doubt, and there was fear and misery for them. Again, we're going to go through those days where things don't work out the way that we think they should, where God doesn't answer prayer the way we want Him to, and it leaves us feeling broken and confused. What do you do in those days of confusion? Well, Jesus actually, here's what He said. Jesus told him, before the night's over, you're going to fall to pieces because of what's happening to me. Scripture says God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will scatter. Jesus was already predicting that. And at that point, it says in the Bible that all the disciples abandoned Jesus and they ran away from Him. Let me ask you a pointed question. Have you ever run away from God in your day of confusion? I'm sure. Have you ever run away from God when things don't work out and you're in that season of pain and God doesn't answer maybe the prayer the way that you wished He would, or things didn't work out the way that you wished, and you were just so confused and you're hurt? And have you ever run away from God? We tend to run away, and God says, I want you to run to me. Maybe you're here Easter Sunday and you're saying, man, yeah, I have run from God in my day of pain. I just want to say welcome home because God wants you to run to Him in that season of confusion. What do we do in that season of confusion? How do we get through the days of confusion? Listen, this is important. I want you to understand this too. The answer is this. We have to remember the promises of God. When you're in that season of confusion, how do you get through that? You remember the promises of God. Never forget in the dark what God has revealed to you in the light. Let me say it again. Never forget in the dark what God has revealed to you in the light. You see, when days of confusion come and we just can't see what's next and we don't know which way to go or what to do and that rug has been pulled out from under us, we can barely see the next step in front of us and you just feel confused and chaotic and broken and doubtful. Never forget in the dark moment what God has revealed to you in the light. We have to hold on to the promises of God. Jesus was teaching the disciples this. Actually, before Jesus was crucified, listen, He said, in just a little while, I will be gone. He's talking to His disciples. He said, I'll be gone in a little while, then you'll see me no more, but just a little while after that, you will see me again. The world will greatly rejoice over what's going to happen to me, and you will weep, but your weeping shall suddenly be turned to wonderful joy when you see me again. It will be the same joy as that of a woman in labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives place to rapturous joy, and the pain is forgotten. You have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. Listen, this was Jesus before the crucifixion. They didn't get it. He said, listen, you're going to be scattered, you're going to abandon me, and you're going to go through a really deep season of confusion for that Saturday. But He was giving them a word. He was giving them a promise. He said, on the other side of that confusion and pain, there is going to be joy, and it's going to be a joy that nobody can take from your life. And what was that? That was a promise. Those disciples in that confusion, in that pain. Jesus is dead. What do we do? This is horrible. Everything's terrible. Wait a second. He talked about joy. You got to hang on to a promise from God's word. Listen, there's over 7,000 promises in God's word, but you can't claim those promises for your life if you don't know those promises. And we've got to understand and we've got to know those promises. And it's in those seasons sometimes that we doubt the goodness of God. Here's what the Bible says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ, and with a resounding yes and amen. In other words, God has given us promises for our life that we can hold on to, but we have to know those promises. It's kind of like this. Say you got a bunch of checks in the mail. People were sending you money. Wouldn't that be great? Just open up the mailbox And it's filled with checks. The next day it's more, and there's tons of checks. Money is coming in, except you never do anything with those checks. You just leave them in the mailbox or set them on your counter, and you never sign them and you never deposit them. Wouldn't that be a waste? I'm going to tell you, the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. In other words, what God is saying is that I have made promises for your life. And we have to know those promises, and we have to cash in on those promises, and we have to believe in those promises for our life. And that's how we hold on. You know, it's a couple years ago, I went to the doctor. I had to go to the doctor. I had a foot problem, but I didn't know if it was covered in our insurance. So I walked around with a sore foot for a long time because I was worried, right? Is this covered? I don't want to go in and say, yep, your foot hurts. $800, please. You know, I don't want that to happen to me. So I walked around with a bad foot for a while. I didn't know if it was covered. Finally, we decided, to look at our insurance policy and see if it's covered. Guess what? It was covered. And guess what that meant? I didn't worry about it anymore. I went to the doctor and, he tried to help me out anyways. I didn't have to pay for it. But the idea is I didn't worry about it. When we are not holding on to the promises of God, there's an indicator in our life. It's called worry. Anybody familiar with that word? How about stress? That one? How about panic attack? Whew. That's a big one. The only good thing about stress and worry is simply this. Whenever we have that in our life, that's a little red light to say, I need to have a problem. I need to get a promise for God, from God. Listen, for every problem, there is a problem. For every worry that you have right now in your life, there is a promise in the Word of God. And when we go through seasons of confusion, and I have been there as you have, I have held on to those promises of God. Let me just give you a few real quickly on your outline, maybe not on your outline, but I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. Psalm 16, the other day, I was doing my Bible reading. I said, God, you got a promise for my life. It's in here. Just a couple minutes a day, a couple chapters a day. Boom, I read Psalm 16. Look at this. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. What a promise. No matter what happens in life, I will not be shaken. Why? Because God is with me and He is right here beside me. And I can walk with confidence in my day no matter what, because I won't be shaken because God is with me. That's a promise, man. That's not just for me, but that's for you as well. Maybe you're saying, well, I need a promise. Maybe your life is in a heap of ruins right now. Things didn't work out like you thought, and just feel like there's a pile of ashes in front of you, and life isn't ever going to get any better for you. I'm going to give you a promise here from Isaiah to all who mourn in Zion. In other words, if you're in pain, I'll give you beauty for ashes. That pile of ashes, that destruction that looks like right in front of you, God says, I'm going to give you beauty for that. I'm going to give you joy instead of mourning and praise instead of despair. You in a season of despair right now, a season of maybe ashes, and it doesn't look like anything's going to mount. There is joy coming. There's a promise that you can hold on to, that He's going to give you joy instead of mourning. He's going to give you hope and joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair, beauty for ashes. How about this one? Let me go on right here. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, when you go, I will be with you. I will be with you. A promise from God. When you go through deep waters, when you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord, your God and Savior. Amen. You need a Savior because you cannot save yourself. We get to Sunday now, the day of joy. It's Friday, but Sunday's a coming. Love that. It's Friday, but Sunday's a coming. The women went to the tomb to mourn the death of Jesus. Early in the morning, the sun was rising, but the sun had already risen, if you know what I mean. And they got to that grave. And they were going to do their spices and just mourn the death of Jesus. All of a sudden, the stones rolled away. Oh no, what's going on? Where's he at? Somebody take him. And guess what? Jesus had risen from the dead. Jesus appeared to those women. Jesus appeared to the disciples. Jesus appeared to hundreds of people over a period of 40 days. Jesus taught people. He ate fish with people. He fished with people. He ate meals together. Jesus appeared. Jesus was alive. And that was a huge game changer. These disciples came from this place of despair, came from this place of confusion. Now Jesus is alive, and that changed everything. That is a game changer for them. Now they have courage instead of fear. Now they're going to share the gospel. These 11 disciples and the rest, they filled Jerusalem with the teaching of Jesus. 100,000 people became followers of Christ. Caesar himself eventually became a follower of Jesus Christ during that time. That's what the resurrection does. It gives you hope. It gives you power. Question we're going to look at here. How do you get to the day of joy? Here's what I want you to write in. The answer is this: you need to rely upon the power of Jesus. Here's why you need to rely upon the power of Jesus: because you cannot resurrect yourself. You can't do it on your own. You need the power of Jesus. Sometimes we think we're like the little engine that could. You remember that story? I love that story. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And then what's he say? I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. And that's pretty, I mean, that's a fun story, right? But that's not how life works. Because we run out of willpower really quickly. And we cannot save ourselves. That's why we need salvation. And that's why we need a Savior. Because he gives us resurrection power in our lives. When we learn to rely upon him and his resurrection power. We need a Savior. Jesus would have not gone through. God would not gone through everything that he went through. The suffering, the torture of Jesus. Why go through that if we didn't need what Jesus went through? If there are other ways, no, there's one way, and his name is Jesus, and he paid the price as a son of God for our sins. Jesus said this in John. I love this. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Notice the resurrection is not just a theory. But the resurrection is a person. Listen, you don't need religion. You don't need rules and regulations. You don't need any of that. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ because he is the resurrection and the life. And his power is real. There's a prayer that I want to pray for you. This prayer in Ephesians, I'm going to tell you, and we're going to bring this to a conclusion in just a moment. I want to pray a prayer with you, a life-changing prayer for anybody and everybody in this room. This is the day that God has ordained for your life. And I believe God's going to change hearts and lives here. Whether you are a believer in Jesus already or you never have made that commitment, I believe God's going to do something real. But this is a prayer. This is a prayer that I've been praying over this church for the past 17 years. As your pastor and a person who loves you so much, I pray this prayer. And I pray it more passionately today than I ever have before. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe in him. It is the same mighty power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I pray this for you as a person and as your pastor who loves you, that you will be able to understand the incredible, great power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave 2,000 years ago is the same resurrection power that is available every moment of our life and every moment of our days to have that same resurrection power for our lives. You need a resurrection in your life. If he conquered the grave, there's no problem that he cannot conquer. If he raised a dead body, he can raise a dead marriage. If he raised a dead body, he can raise a dead career. If he raised a dead body, he can raise a dead hope for the future. He can raise anything up because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Philippians says this, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Paul's saying, listen, if I have to suffer to know the power of Jesus, fine with me. I want to know the resurrection power. I'm going to tell you a quick story before we conclude, and then we're going to pray about the incredible resurrection power of Jesus. There's a movie that came out a couple years ago called The War Room. Help me with my details. It was about an elderly woman who was a prayer warrior. And just prayed and prayed and prayed. And she saw miracles in people's lives because she prayed. There's a backstory to that woman's life. And her daughter, this woman passed, and her daughter now tells the story of her mom's life. She was at the Women of Purpose conference, and she told stories. And here's the backstory. This woman is Italian, right? Italian grandma. She never passed an opportunity up to tell somebody about Jesus. Never passed an opportunity. Whoever she was around, she'd tell people about Jesus. They live in New York. They're crossing a bridge. A lot of bridges in New York. There's a big commotion of people that are up on the bridge. What's going on? There's a man who jumped from that bridge to commit suicide. So hopeless to commit suicide, he jumped from that bridge. And this lady, tell me her name again, Jamie. Remember? We forget her name. That's okay. Molly, okay? She said, I gotta stop and tell that man about Jesus. And her daughter's driving. She's saying, Mom, he already jumped. Maybe a little too late for that. Let's just kind of keep going. She goes, no, I gotta tell him about Jesus. This old grandma, okay, Molly, she presses through the crowd. Everybody's around, and she presses through the crowd, and she sees that man. He survived the jump. And she yelled in her grandma voice, you need Jesus, or no, Jesus loves you. She yelled it. The man's in the water, and he looks back, and he goes, I need Jesus. And the man swam to shore, and the police were there to arrest the man. Committed a horrible crime. He murdered his wife and his wife's boyfriend. Guys don't like when wives have boyfriends. And the police were there, a terrible crime. And they took him to jail. But this Molly, she followed this man. She went to visit him. This man gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And he's serving a life sentence, no doubt. But he is in that prison. He started a church, and he started a ministry, and he's leading other people to faith in Jesus Christ right in that prison, because there now is a purpose for his life. And that is a real story. And that is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that God can't do. There's nothing that he can't do. We're going to pray a powerful prayer today. And I want you to stand with me for this prayer as we get ready to conclude. But this is the most important moment of our service today. It really is. This is the moment I've been waiting for, to be honest with you. Because I don't care. Listen, if there's just one here that needs to open their heart to Jesus, if there's one that needs to receive the grace of God through Jesus Christ, if there's one person that will say, you know what, today it's real, today I'm going to give my life to Jesus. If there's just one, that's good for me. That's good for me. I need the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in my life every day. You're going to go through days of pain. You reach out to God, pray the Gethsemane prayer. Days of confusion are sure to come, and you may be in one right now. You hold on to the promises of God. He has promises for your life. Dig them out, search them out, get a Bible, take a Bible, go for it. God will speak to your heart in that word. You want to get to the days of joy and celebration, and that's only possible by relying on the power of Jesus Christ. Listen, there's no other way for you to get to heaven. Jesus proved that there's life after death, but he also said that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the resurrection and the life. There's no other way. I want to show you this prayer. It's on the screen here. Or this is a verse in Scripture. Then we're going to pray. It says this, if you confess with your mouth, that means just to pray, that means just to say it out. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart, you just believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Woo. You say, that sounds too simple. I want to tell you, the truth is simple. That you confess with your mouth, Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord. You are who you said you are. You are God. You came to this earth. You lived. You died. You sacrificed your life for me, and you rose again from the grave. And I believe that God rose you up from that grave, and you are alive today. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Amen. Bow your heads with me, please. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment, just this moment right now. With your heads bowed, I just want to ask you, I'm unashamedly asking you right now, If you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus, you're here and you want to receive the grace of God in your life, you want to believe, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you've never really done that before for real, and you want to accept this gift of salvation, I want you simply to raise your hand. I'm going to count to three, and you just put that hand up. One, two, three, right now. You want to receive that gift. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You can place your hand down. Thank you so much for that. Just that honesty. For one. For two, for a dozen. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Church, can we pray this all together? Simply say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my heart right now that God, you raised him from the dead. And I believe right now, God, that I am a child of God. I give you my life. I ask you, Jesus, to fill me today with your resurrection power. I want to rely upon the power of God and not on my own power. Thank you, Father, for loving me, for being a good, good Father. I give my life to you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I came to church on Easter Sunday. And I am absolutely glad that you came to church as well. So I want to tell you before you leave, God bless you. You matter to God. You matter to us. Maybe this has been a little different for you as far as church goes, and that's okay. We love you, and we believe God has a plan for your life, and we'd love for you to connect here. If you don't have a place that you normally go or call church home, we're here. We love you, and we want you to connect with us. Next week, we're going to conclude the series with talking about the resurrection and how the resurrection changes everything and how to live this out. We're going to continue this message in a way. So I invite you to back this week and next week. God bless you. Happy Easter. Have a wonderful day with your family. God bless. Amen.